Hey, good morning. Would you go ahead and have a seat, please? Go ahead and have a seat. Welcome so much to our Day of Thanks this morning. And so everything's going to be a little bit different out of our normal liturgy or order of service, however you want to call it. But it's so good to see everybody. If you're a guest this morning, we are especially honored to have you here. We hope you feel at home and welcome. We do our best to make sure that everybody does. And so we are so glad and honored to have you with us this morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, in verse 12, it says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to praise the Lord, offer our thanks back to him. And of course, we do that frequently, which should be the steady routine and diet of a believer. But we're going to especially do that this morning. And so we've got some baptisms planned that we'll do in just a second. And then a little bit later, as you see, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together. And when we do partake of the Lord's Supper, just so you know what to expect, if you are a believer, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're walking in fellowship with him, we invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us this morning here in a few minutes. Doesn't matter if you're a member of our church or not, but we would love to share in that fellowship with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful. So many things to give thanks to you. Like Fanny Crosby said in that whole old hymn, "To you be the glory, great things you have done." And of course, Father, it starts with the gospel. We are thankful for your transcendent power and authority, your objective steadiness and stern fastness, your holiness. And Father, when we gaze at your holiness and understand it through what you've revealed in your word, we realize that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But thank you that you made a way possible for us to be restored to you through Christ and through the gospel, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we celebrate that, Father. We celebrate it every moment of our life. That's what we walk in. And Lord, we want our best to walk in the light as you are in the light, and to have a constant fellowship with you. Lord, thank you for, this is hard even to say, but thank you for those from our fellowship that you've taken home this year. We miss them, we love them, and we think of others from the last several years as well. But Lord, we are joyful over the fact that they are in your presence. They've finished the race that we're trying so hard to run well ourselves. Thank you for them, Lord. We miss them, we love them, but we are so thankful for what you've done in their souls and in their lives. Father, we are thankful for your material provision. You feed us, you clothe us, you shelter us. And we give you honor for that. Lord, even as we look at the darkness that is around us, we are thankful that even evil and even darkness works in your plan. it highlights how good you are, the excellencies of your goodness. We don't understand every little thing that comes into our lives. We don't understand every little thing that comes on the world scene. We're just another generation of people that are struggling and trying to get by. But we know that you have a grand plan. Day after day, your glory is seen through the universe and creation around us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, Pastor Jared is going to come up.
All right. Well, church family, what an exciting day that we have as we celebrate Thanksgiving week. There's so much to be thankful for. One of the most exciting things in the life of a church is when you get to celebrate new life, and you get to celebrate that through baptism. And so we've got several that are being baptized this morning, and I want to go ahead and ask if you guys, so the families of you who are coming, so Josie, where are you at? There you are, sweetheart. Would you come on up with your mom and your dad and Jordan? I know we were still waiting on a few family members to get here. Where did y'all go? They took off. I think they're coming in right now. So, Josie, you're going to go first. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right. So when your dad gets up here, he's coming in right now. So when we talk about baptism here at Hope Valley Church, we want to be clear what we're talking about, because baptism is such an exciting and holy moment. But when we talk about going into the baptismal waters, baptism doesn't wash anyone's sins away. Only Jesus does that, right? And so when we get to celebrate baptism, it's a response to what Jesus has already done in someone's heart. So as you follow after Christ, after turning, confessing your sins, repenting, following Christ, and being born again, baptism then is the first step in following Jesus. It's a way to publicly share your testimony before everyone, before family and friends and the world, and say, I belong to Christ. And so right now we're going to do that. So they're all here. If Jordan could go first, sure, if you're all here. So Jordan, why don't you come on up here, buddy? And your family is here. Where'd your dad go? He's right here. Good deal. Dad, will you help him in here? And we're going to have him face that direction. So with our kids, we have a discipleship book that we walk through that the parents get to, and we get to walk with our kids. Because one thing we want to make sure is we want to make sure that they understand what they're doing, that they understand the gospel, that they've had that moment to place their faith in Christ, and then before they get to go to be baptized. So why don't you come on? Can you come on this side over here? Does that work? So this morning we have the Linkus family. You guys could come on up here too if you want, a little bit closer. And we have little Jordan. Now, Jordan's been talking about following after Christ, believing in him for a while, and his parents have been having ongoing conversations with him. And we got to walk through this little booklet about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be baptized, what it means to commit your entire life to follow after Christ. Jordan is here. And I'm going to ask you a question. Can you go ahead and hop down your knees? Now everybody's gotten a good chance to see you. Good. All right. So, Jordan, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord?
Yes.
All right, buddy. Well, based on your profession of faith, your daddy and I and your family, we get to baptize you. Will you go ahead and hold your nose? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, yep. And that is something that we get to celebrate, all right? And next we have Josie Whitlock. Come on up, Josie. All right, help you in, sweetheart. All right, you go ahead and turn the other way. So we're still waiting on more family members to come. So how about this? They're in the parking lot? Okay, 1 minute. No worries. Devin, you're up, my man. Come on. All right, let's go. So you stay right here with your mama, okay? You just got to be ready to go. Just, oh. Dude, didn't want you to break it, all right? There you go. That's perfect, just like that. Yep. So if you guys remember, if you've been at Hope Valley for any period of time, this might look new. We had to get a bigger tank because Devin is like 6'5", and he would have gotten stuck. So, Devin, where'd the other mic go? Okay, because I was going to give it to Devin for a second. So Devin's here to be baptized, and want to give him a second just to share for a moment what the Lord's been doing in his heart recently. It's exciting to see how God is stirring in his heart, and so Devin, I got this mic here for you, and then we'll baptize you.
So just to put things short, I've always felt like I've walked my life with Jesus. But then there have been times where I feel like I'm just doing it for other people and past relationships. And I would always end up in those relationships very heartbroken and just lost and down a deep and dark path. But then while I was on those deep and dark paths, I would lose sight of God. And I feel like it was just me walking by myself when in all actuality, it was Jesus carrying me through those dark times. And I couldn't have gotten through it without him. And that unconditional love that I was searching for in a relationship, I found in Christ.
Amen. 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 And so, Devin, it's a joy, man, as your brothers in Christ and as your church family to celebrate this with you. And so, just to ask you a quick question. So, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord?
Oh, absolutely, wholeheartedly.
Amen. All right. We're excited and honored to baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Do you have a towel? Okay, good. That first step's a doozy, so. All right, are we ready for Miss Josie? Yes! Come on, Josie. Thanks, man. Careful on that step. All right. Well, now we have Josie Whitlock with her family and her friends. And the family's here, right? Good. All right. Hey, this is an exciting time, right, in someone's life. And for family to come around and celebrate that is incredible. And so, Josie, there's a lot of people in your church family that love you so much and are proud of you for your decision to follow after Jesus. Josie has been, she's been telling her mom and dad adamantly for a long time, I believe in Jesus and I need to be baptized. And so they're like, okay, all right, well, let's talk about it. And I think she was finally like, I'm done talking about it. I'm ready to be baptized. And so it's a joy, sweet girl, to be here with your family. So, Josie, why are you coming to be baptized today?
Because I put Jesus number one in my heart.
All right. Well, so, sweetheart, have you placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord?
Yes.
All right. Well, based on that, hold your nose for us. Your dad and I get to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, church, we're going to continue to worship the Lord. I just want to pray for a moment. Just pray over these. We have others in our church that are ready to be baptized as well. Some of them couldn't be here today, so we'll have follow-up baptism services in the coming days and weeks. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for what you have done. We know that salvation only comes from you, is only found in you. And so it's only because you stir in our hearts that any of us come to faith in you. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in these children's lives. I thank you for what you're doing in Devin's life and so many others in our church family. Lord, it's exciting to be here at this moment. And so we pray for them. We pray that this is just the beginning. And that as they continue this journey to follow after you, Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in them, would you walk with them? Would you carry them? Would you convict them? Would you draw them? Would you lead them step by step through their life? So we commit these into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Would y'all stand up back up so we can keep worshiping?
Mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend, the agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Jesus, there. light at the end of my rope. I'm losing my grip and I've lost all hope. Along comes the strength beyond my control. That's what Jesus said. Scoundrels and drunkards, lepers and me. He'll far away between a couple of thieves. The last place on earth you think he would be.
Just good morning. You can have a seat for a moment. I will share some testimonies, short testimonies, and how thankful I am to God for everything that He's doing in my life. So if you're here for the first time, I'm Carol. I'm from Brazil. Exactly, my name is Caroline, Carol, but in English it's easier to say Carol. And when we came here, when we got here, we had a word of God for us that just to leave our country and go to somewhere else. And He chose here, and here we are. And we are glad to be here. And God has given us so many blessings, blessing us in all the ways. And I just made a list just to for you to understand. First of all, God made, He gave us a house and a family to live with almost 6 months. He gave us directions to our ministry, to our life, new friends, hearings and deaf, new friends, and a car. In all this year, God never left us or allowed us to be without car. And you know how necessary it is here to have a car. And even when we were almost like, almost needing a car, God just sent a couple of friends to lend their car for a month for us. And they didn't know that we were in need. So God is awesome. Clothes, everything that I'm wearing, God just gave me. I didn't buy anything. House, it's a beautiful house and an awesome place. furniture, even the electric pressure cooker that I wished. Family, some of you know that my in-laws and my nephew came here the last month, so they came and it was awesome. It's so good to be near to our family. And in Psalm 136, verse 1, says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He takes care of us, and we need to give thanks to him for everything. And two short testimonies that I want to give more details is, when my in-laws were here, their flight back to Brazil, were there in Florida, so we needed to go there with them, and also to show the country some other places for them. And we were looking for a place to stay. We have some friends there, but for many reasons, they couldn't receive us in their house. So we were looking for the hotel, Airbnb, and we didn't have too much money to spend with it. And we were 7 people. So we started to pray and looking for it. And one day, one of the friends, as she said, she texted me and she said, Carol, unfortunately, I will be in Georgia. I can't receive you. We would love to be with all of you there in my house. But we decided that we want to bless you. And bless us, like, with what? And she just sent me 3 pictures of 3 different hotels. And she said, we will pay 2 rooms for you and for your family to stay. And God is awesome. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. And praise God because he takes care of us in the things that we need daily, house, clothes, food, and even in a good times, the leisure times, that we think, but should I ask God this? Like, I'm going to a vacation, 3 days there. And he gave us. He's blessing us in every... He said this, that we need to leave our country, and he will bless us, and he's doing it. So praise God. And the last thing is, the last week after my in-laws, we came back from Florida, and I got sick. Some things were happening in my body, and I was a little mad because I was like, God, why is this happening with me? I was so glad and excited, and we just got back for a wonderful trip with the family, and now I'm sick. And I went to my bedroom. I was mad. So as I said, and I just laid out in my bed and I just cried. I whip and I was like, God, why this and that? I would love to receive like my mom's hug, you know? You know, moms takes care of us like nobody else. And I pray in this way. So, okay, I prayed. I stopped crying. I went to the living room. And when I got my cell phone, I had a message call for who? From who? My mom. My mom. And my mom never calls me. I always calls her. She texted me, but I always call her. And then I said, Mom, is everything okay? You calling me? I was thinking there was some problem, something happening there in Brazil. And she said, no, because I'm missing you. I want to know how you are. And I said, God, you are amazing. And he used another 2 friends to text me and ask me. So what he was telling me, that he takes care of me. In Matthew 6, verse 26 says that he takes care of the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So just for you to know that he takes care of what you need daily, the good times that you will need and need to have, and also a mother's care, or when you need somebody else to hug you, he takes care and protects you. Amen.
Thank you. On the third day after Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' tomb. It was still dark, and she saw that the large stone at the entrance had been moved away. Mary ran to Simon Peter and John. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him," she said. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John looked inside and saw the linen cloths lying there. Then Peter went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths too. The cloth that had been around Jesus' head was folded up. John believed that Jesus was alive. Then Peter and John went back home. Mary went back to the tomb and cried. When she looked inside, she saw two angels sitting there. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him," she said. Then Mary turned around. Jesus stood in front of her, but she did not recognize him. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary thought Jesus might be the gardener. She replied, "Sir, if you have taken Jesus away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said, "Mary." Mary realized who he was and said, "Teacher!" Jesus sent Mary to tell the other disciples that he was going back to the Father. Mary did what Jesus said, and she told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Meanwhile, some of the guards from Jesus' tomb went into the city and told the religious leaders everything that had happened. The leaders got together and made a plan. They gave the soldiers a lot of money and told them to lie about what they saw. "Say that Jesus' disciples came in the night and stole his body while you were sleeping," they said. The guards took the money and lied about Jesus' resurrection. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. God was pleased with Jesus' sacrifice and raised Jesus from the dead on the third day to reign as king over all creation. Jesus provides salvation from sin and the promise of eternal life.
Amen. Normally, our kids would take off at this time, but we want them to stay in here for this special service today. As we just reflect on all that God is and does and is worthy of all of our thanks, one thing I'm thankful for is the privilege to be able to go and see what God's doing around the world. You guys know, or most of you may know, that I just got back from a mission trip to Thailand, where my dad and I were working together. And so I want to give everybody just a quick update on that. And then that's going to kind of transition into just something that I'm just super grateful for as things that we've seen specifically this past week. So Dad and I worked in Thailand. The reason that we were in Thailand is because our church has been partnering with a Burmese family, Ling and Angela Choi from Yangon, Burma, Myanmar. We've been working with them for over 10 years. Actually, we're about to approach 10 years. They're just precious. We've actually had them at our church before. Many of you have met them. Some of you have been on mission trips there with us and have gotten just to know and love them and see their heart for the Lord. Well, back in 2020, just before COVID hit, the military, there was basically a military takeover, and a military coup, and they just demolished the country. And so they've been under the oppressive hand of a military leader for the past 3 years. Well, then COVID hit, and that made matters just infinitely worse. And so we've been trying to support them and help them every way that we can, but for the most part, the borders have been closed, and the situation there has just gotten progressively worse. What's sad in the American side of things is that we don't hear a lot about that. You know, there's the way that our news media works, we just don't hear a lot about things that happen in other parts of the world. We're pretty American-centric, to be honest. And so a lot of our American news is really, if it only pertains to us, do we really care? And so they've been kind of suffering in silence for many years. But we've been trying to keep our church family up to date because we help and we love and we support all that we can. Well, we got to go to Thailand, which borders Myanmar. And so we got to go, my dad and I, mainly to be, well, took multiple reasons, but mainly it was to be with Ling and Angela to give some money that our church family collected this past month to give to them as a blessing gift, but then also to just come alongside and support and encourage, and then to work alongside a Burmese church that's there in the city of Bangkok to help them, to encourage them, and to serve the Lord with them, which was so much fun to be able to go, and which is neat because I was able to preach in this Burmese church on Sunday. I was actually able to come from the book of Acts, which is what we've been studying through. And so I was able to preach with to them, to this church family, worship with them, and just sort of encourage them exactly how we've been encouraged the past several weeks, which is to be on mission for the Lord, and then get to go out with this pastor into the community that they're in and share the gospel. Which brings it to the second part of this trip, which was pretty difficult in that we were going out into the city to share the gospel with people, which Bangkok, Thailand is a pretty, it's sort of a melting pot of cultures. I mean, there's people there from all over, but we met people from literally all over the world right there in this one little part of the city. But also, we're finding that it's pretty hard to the gospel, meaning that gospel conversations are sometimes difficult to have in that city. And so we were trying to, you know, have conversations with people along the way, and it was just not getting anywhere. Like, we were just having a hard time. You try to meet with someone on the street, and they really don't want to talk to you. And you guys, if you've ever been on mission trips, different parts of the world have different openness levels to the gospel. And so this is one that's just right now that we found was pretty cold. Until my dad and I went to the parks. So there was a local park there that had basketball courts and this outdoor weightlifting things and jogging tracks and all that kind of stuff. And my dad and I enjoy playing basketball. We enjoy working out and things like that. So we were able to go. And here's what's crazy. It's crazy how you can meet somebody on the street and they want nothing to do with you. You get on a basketball court with somebody and suddenly strangers become friends. And it was absolutely incredible to see the doors that God opened just by playing basketball, just by running in a circle, just by lifting some weights. Like, God led us to some incredible conversations. You know, what's funny is that Dad and I did this before in the Dominican Republic. We were there several years ago, and Aaron was there when we went to the basketball court, and suddenly the doors opened wide open when you start playing a sport with someone, which is so funny because, so I played basketball in high school, and this is when we were in the DR, and we got there, and I wanted to kind of like build rapport amongst the guys that are out there. There's some really good ballers out there, and the first night we got there, I wasn't playing particularly well, and so this is going to sound really silly, but I went back, and this is a couple years ago, I went back and I prayed, Lord, like, I would like to do good. Like, I would like to, like, get out there and actually look like I know what I'm doing and actually play and, you know, earn some respect from these guys. And listen, I got there the next day, and I bawled. Like, it was awesome. Like, I was draining them, and I was like, this is, I earned the respect. And I was like, so then it was super cool. So fast forward, now this past week, we get to Thailand. First day I get out there, and not doing so well, kind of sloppy, and looked like a 12-year-old out there. And so I was like, worked last time. So I said, Lord, you know, I would really like to get out there and, you know, just kind of balled up a little bit, you know, earn some respect out there. And I got out there, And I played the worst basketball that I have ever played, I think, in my entire life. Over 4 days, I made 3 baskets. All right, that's like 3 hours of basketball a day. Really bad. So the lesson that I learned is sometimes the Lord answers your prayer with yes. And sometimes he answers your prayer with no, you're going to look like a dummy out there. But I'm going to use you anyway. And the Lord still allowed us to have these incredible conversations. And we got some guys that we're able to follow up with. Dad's connected with them on Facebook. People from all different kinds of faiths that are now asking questions. And we're getting to have follow-up conversations and say, hey, this is what it means to know and experience life in Jesus. And so I would ask that you guys would just join with us as we pray for. And I can give you some specific names of people later on to be praying for, that the gospel would continue to penetrate their lives. One of the last days that we were there, we met with a missionary, an IMB missionary there, and she just said, when I said, hey, how can we pray for you? She said, I've been here for 15 years. She said, what we're finding is that there's people that are willing to have conversations. She said, but it's been so, so hard to see people actually take that next step to placing their faith and trust in Jesus and actually follow after him. And so there's moments of discouragement when you invest your life there and you don't see the fruit that you want to see. And so she said, would y'all just pray with me that the Spirit of God would break through the walls and break through the barriers? And so I told her that our church family will be praying for her as she labors there day in and day out. So long after we're gone, she's still there. The churches are still there. They're still working hard in that dark city that's overwhelmingly Buddhist. And so we're just going to continue to pray for them, that God's Spirit would continue to move in them. So the other part of our trip, though, was just to come alongside Ling and Angela and try to encourage them along the way in just the incredible hardship. There's a verse that came to mind as I was listening to them and listening to their stories, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. So Paul's writing to a church that was under persecution, that was under all sorts of kinds of sufferings and affliction. And Paul writes to them and he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As I sat across the couch from Ling and Angela, every morning we had this really special time just to have devotions together, to pray, to sing. What I was struck by was that even in the midst of the situation there in Burma is far beyond what any of us live in day to day. And I mean, daily threat of military coming and storming into your home, houses being burned to the ground, people being killed. Like it's stuff that we just don't see here. And in the midst of that, what I was struck by, though, is just the joy and the prayer and the thanksgiving that comes out of their hearts, that pours out of this sweet, precious couple. And so as I think about these words, rejoice always, and to my, like, what boggles my mind is that then I get to see them. Like, I see them rejoicing. I see them rejoicing in tears over little things that God does, little blessings along the way. I see them fervent in prayer. Like, prayer has been their lifeline, their anchor in the midst of trial and trouble. And I see them literally giving thanks in all circumstances. You know, it's easy for me to come up here and say, living in the house that I live in the city that I live in, and say, yeah, I give thanks in all circumstances, when my circumstances are pretty great. It's a whole nother thing when the circumstances aren't. But the reality is that you don't see difficulty in Burma. We see it here as well. There's people in this room that have lost dear friends this year. People in this room that have struggled with loss of family or friends or a job or finances or security or safety or there's all sorts of situations, conditions that we could find ourselves in. And yet the scripture says that we can rejoice, we can pray, and we can be thankful in the midst of it. We can be thankful even in the midst of those things. And that's what I saw there in the eyes of Ling and Angela. You know, we were there back in 2019. Those of you who have been to Burma have seen this, that this is just one story that I heard, but right behind Ling and Angela's compound are what there's an area called the slums. It's an area that we would go to and work in all the time. And I was asking about just how things have been. She said, well, you guys remember all those slum homes that have that were back there? She said, all of them have been burned to the ground. And so in one moment, the military came in and burned 8,000 homes in just a matter of moments and left all of those people homeless in a second. She said, we walked out one day, and on their street that leads to their house was just people's possessions and people just laying out, not knowing, you know, where to go. But here's what I love. So Ling and Angela, they said, okay, Lord, you've brought people to us. Now how can we help? And they jumped in. They started making care packages, and they got their church together and started reaching out, trying to help these people find homes and literally try to be the hands and feet in that moment and saying, okay, the Lord has given us an opportunity. So instead of them looking at their own, all, you know, shutting their doors and saying, you know, we barely can feed our own kids. We're barely, you know, we don't have any safety and security here. And yet, they look outwards beyond their little bubble and say, okay, Lord, who can I love? Who can I help? Who can we care for? That's the kind of heart that these precious friends of ours have. They have a huge vision to keep going, to keep serving the Lord. They mentioned to us, and we'll talk about this later on, but they mentioned the desire to maybe even start a Christian school right there because their kids have been out of school for so many years. The times that they do go to school, they're not even sure. There's no safety in this. They're like, maybe we start our own school. And so we talked about some ideas. Maybe as a church, we come alongside them and help them start this new Christian school there for the orphan kids that they have and others around. So there's lots of possibilities for the future, and we'll talk about those. But I just want us to be in prayer for them. But along the way, what I asked them to do was, if they would mind just giving a quick video testimony of all that God's done. And what's so cool to me is that in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the trial, that they still had a song to sing. They still had a message to share. They still had a testimony to give to us. And that testimony was, in the midst of all of this, God has always made a way for us. So I'd love for you guys at our church family just to take a moment to listen to their story.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
good morning, Hope Marriage.
The one to go.
Hi, good morning, Hope Marriage. It is a good privilege for us to meet your pastor, Gerard, and Pastor Wright in Bangkok, Thailand. So I would like to talk about the situation in Burma. We have only 6 to 8 hours electricity in the days. Everywhere there is now safe and secure. And you will see everywhere police with guns or soldiers with guns. So people are always afraid, and when at night times, in their thoughts, they're thinking it's too nice. The police or authorities, the soldier will come and check our heart or not, and they're literally afraid. And also, many people are facing such kind of difficulties. They lose their hope. But we see them, there is a hope in Jesus. And we bring good news to them, and people are due to the bad situation, they feel that they are losing their hope and their future. But we share the good news to them. There is hope in Jesus. There is a future in Jesus. There is the future of Burma in Jesus Christ. God has always made a way for us, because He promised the people of Israel, whatever they are facing, God will deliver them and protect them. God is really good, and His promise always fulfilled in our life. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, it is mentioned that when you pass through the water, I will be with you, and through the river, but they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And also in the bad situation we are living, so many difficulties, we pray to God and we put our hope in Jesus. God make all the way for us in time of difficulties. So it is amazing in our life how God is working for His children. He never leave us and He never forsake us. So let's put our trust in the Lord. Let's put our hope in the Lord our God. He always make a way for His own glory. He never leave His children. He never forsake His people. Let's be faithful in serving the Lord together. God has a plan for us. He will make a way to bring His good news for advancing His kingdom work in Burma, Myanmar. Thank you for keeping us in your prayers. God bless you all.
Beloved in Salami, Milago, Yoli, Meche, Mamie, Naido, Tuni, Lampi, Chino, Dre, Lampi, Semumi, Guru, Lampiami, Tubi, Chino, Atale, Chichim, Yita.
Guys, join me for a moment. I'd just like to pray for them and all that they're walking through right now. Well, Lord Jesus, we want to lift up our sweet friends on the other side of the world. It's so easy for me to forget. It's so easy for me to get caught up in the day-to-day of my life. Forget what they're walking through. It's easy for me to come back to comfort and to forget that they can't. It's easy for me just to walk on in my life day to day, safe and secure, and forget that they don't have those things. And so, Lord, I pray that in the midst of the trial and the difficulty, that you would continue to build up their heart and their spirit. Would you encourage them? Would you continue to grant them boldness in the face of opposition of a military that's hostile to them? Lord, would you continue to provide for their daily needs? Would you continue to provide food for the kids in the orphanage? Would you continue to provide supplies and daily needs for them? You've been so faithful, and they have shouted out your faithfulness every chance that they get. And Lord, we pray that as a result of their witness and their testimony, and as a result of their faithfulness and perseverance in the midst of trials, Lord, that your name would be glorified, that your name would echo forth as a result of their testimony to those in the dark country of Myanmar. That Buddhism that has such a grip hold on that country and on those people, Lord, that you would penetrate the darkness with the light of the gospel, and that you would change hearts and lives, that you would draw men and women and children to yourself, and that you would do what only you can do. And we want to celebrate, Lord, as you bring revival to that land, we want to celebrate your saving work, that you are a God who redeems, that you are a God who saves and rescues. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done there. We pray, Lord, for in advance for what you're going to do. And if our church can be a small part of that, would you help us, Lord? Would you show us? Would you enable us to continue to be generous in our giving? Lord, would you encourage their hearts today, even right now, this day, that they would be filled with your perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, we're going to transition to our time of communion together. Communion is a special moment for us to observe together. And I want to do that by looking at a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 22. So in the Gospel of Luke, it tells the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples before he went to the cross. You're probably familiar with it. We call it the Last Supper. It's where Jesus gathered with those who were his followers, and he gathered them together, and he says, I long to have this meal with you, because it was the last meal that he was going to have before he went to the cross. So he knew everything that was about to happen. So he gathers his followers together. I want you to look at the words. Look at what Jesus says to them. So Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, he said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So Jesus gives them this picture, and he has a cup and he has this bread. What I think I find so fascinating, so incredible here, is when he takes this and says that Jesus gave thanks. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? What is it in that moment that he's thankful for? First of all, how is he thankful knowing what's about to happen? Because he knows what's about to happen, right? He knows he's about to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And he goes to the cross. So he's thankful in every circumstance, even though he knows what's about to happen. But what is it exactly that he's thankful for? Do you think he was thankful for the suffering that was about to come? I don't think he was thankful for the suffering. I think he was thankful for what the suffering was going to accomplish. And that he knew through his obedience and through his death, burial, and resurrection that he was going to offer redemption for the entire world, for anyone and everyone who would believe in him. And so Jesus, it says that he gives thanks. Thankful for what the suffering was going to accomplish. And then the second thing I think that I see here is that he did so willingly. It says he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body that is what? Broken and given for you. This is given. The life of Jesus was not a life that was taken. It was a life that was given. Jesus said in John 10, nobody takes my life. I lay it down willingly of my own accord. So Jesus went to the cross, not because he had to, but because he chose to. He gave his life so that we could live. And that we could, that anybody who would place their faith and trust in Jesus could, by faith, be forgiven of sin and become a child of God. That's the amazing truth of the gospel. And so when we come to the table, that's what we're remembering and we're celebrating and we're reflecting on. So when we come to the table, there's a couple things that we have to be mindful of, is that this is a time for followers of Jesus, for believers, to remember. So it's to look back, right? We look back and we remember what Christ has done. It's also a time to look inward and say, Lord, would you examine my heart? Is there anything in me that, any sin that's unconfessed? Is there any sin that needs to be forsaken, repented of? And then we get to look forward to his coming. Jesus said, do this until I come. And so we're looking ahead for the day that Jesus Christ comes again. And until that day, we continue to come around the table. We continue to remember and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, I'm so far from God right now, and I don't even know what it means to be forgiven or to be a child of God, but I would like to know. I want you to know that right here this morning, I don't know what it is that brought you here this morning. Maybe you're here just as a family or friend or a visitor, but today you'd say, I have questions about this, and I know that I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven of my sin. That could happen right now, even in these moments. I'd like for all of us as a church just to bow our heads and close our eyes, just a moment of prayer. This is time for us, one, again, to look back, reflect on Jesus and all that he's done for you. It's a time for us to look in. Say, Lord Jesus, would you examine, would you test and try and know my heart? Would you show me, reveal what's in my life that needs to be repented of and forsaken? And it's a time to look forward, ahead to the coming of the Lord. But if you're here this morning, you say, Jared, I just don't know. I don't know where I stand. I don't know. Or maybe you're here and you say, I know where I'm at. I know I'm a sinner far away from God, and I need to be saved. I'm going to ask you for a moment. If that's you this morning, you say, Jared, I just need you to pray for me. I know that I'm lost and I need Jesus. Would you mind, just you and me, would you just slip your hand up at me and just say, Jared, that's me. That's me this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Jared, that's me. I want you to know that right now in the quiet of this moment, that in your heart, dear friends, that you can cry out to a God who loves you, a God who created you. It doesn't have to be some elaborate prayer. It just needs to be your heart speaking to your Creator. And it's an acknowledgement of sin. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sins have separated me from you. And so, God, right now, I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for me. And that when he rose again, he conquered death for me. And right now, I believe. And I want to be a child of God. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you make me new? In Jesus' name. I want you to know that God hears your prayer. And this is a new start for you of this new life in Christ. And after the service, I would love to talk with anybody who I'm available, would love to talk about what that looks like walking forward, okay? But right now, here's what we're going to do as a church family. We're going to now partake in this together. So I would like to ask that if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, whether you're a member or not, that's okay. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a believer, I want to ask you to come on up. We want you to grab a cup, grab a piece of bread, and just make your way back to your seat. And then when everybody's gotten it, then we'll take it together, okay? So you take this time. Come on up. Tell you this, maybe you're one this morning and you'd say, hey, today I actually am placing my faith in Christ. Today's the day that I'm being born again, being saved from my sin. Well, then that means this meal is for you. It's time for you to come and for the very first time, maybe, to take the Lord's Supper, to remember and reflect on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus took the bread, said, "This bread represents my body that's broken and given for you." And so he said, he gave thanks. I'm going to ask Brother Heath to pray for us.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for so willingly giving your body to us. When we think about the suffering that you went through on our behalf, Father, the brokenness of your having your beard ripped out and being whipped, all because you offered yourself on our behalf. So, Father, as we get ready and take this bread, let us think about the fact that it portrays your body being broken for us. Father, I pray that we come before you humbly. Father, not proud in our sins, but humbly understanding that each sin that we have committed, you alone bore the penalty for on that cross. Father, help us to think about the unity that because we are all covered by your grace and by your broken body in the same way, there is unity, Father, in Christ. There's unity in the way of salvation that you brought to us. We are all the same before an almighty God. And it's only by your broken body that we are saved. Take this.
And then Jesus took the cup and said, "This represents my blood that's poured out for you." The blood of the new covenant that he was, at that very moment, was instituting. So Penny, would you please pray for us? Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Without it, we wouldn't have life, have the ability to have life eternal. Father, as we take of this cup that represents your blood, may we come with thanksgiving, Father, and a heart of praise. We thank you for your sacrifice, and we thank you for the gift of salvation.
Amen. They took the cup and they drank. Amen. Worship team is going to come on up. We're going to close out our service, our special Thanksgiving service, with one more song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We are so thankful that you could be with us today and join us. I know many of you are guests. Thank you for being our guests today. Thank you for having this special moment. I pray that this week is filled with just a heart of thanksgiving as we remember and reflect on all that God has done and continues to do in our lives. So, would you guys continue to lead us?
Would y'all stand up?
Mm-hmm.
sin, separated, reach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. The great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, free my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glory.
Bringing us out of darkness into your glorious, glorious light. Thank you for the light of Word. Thank you for the light of your person, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. To remain standing, we're going to head out of here in just a second. Let me mention a few things. It's so nice being able to celebrate two commands that God has given us. In the church ordinances and the Lord's and also in the Lord's Supper and also in baptism, which coincidentally, if someone has a nice clean indoor space to store an 8x3 trough, let us know.
I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving this week. Is anyone... if there is anybody here that doesn't have any plans for Thanksgiving Day, please reach out to one of the elders. The Johnsons, like, it's a blessing to them to be able to bless folks and prepare a meal. And so that is available, but we need to know kind of ASAP if you're interested in sharing Thanksgiving with some other folks here at the church, okay? And then Saturday, now, pay close attention to this, because our emails have been incorrect. But this coming Saturday, the Brazilian folks are going to have a gathering where they're going to have a short time of worship and a meal afterwards here at the church. That is Saturday. All of our folks are invited, but just take note of that. That is Saturday, not Thursday. Aaron put him in his place. No, it's 5:00. I didn't know it. It wasn't on the back screen either. So, and then we have normal Sunday evening activities tonight with puppet ministry, youth. I believe the Connect team is meeting. I think that's all that really needs to be mentioned. Christmas dinner, save the date on the 13th. Kids have a Christmas activity on the 3rd. You'll see more information about that. And thank you so much for gathering with us today. Father, thank you for this time that we have together, new folks that we get to meet, families that get to come and celebrate the work that you're doing in their loved ones' lives. Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen.